Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So much news to talk about. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday saying, what are you talking about on the show? I said, as usual, politics every day. And now, of course, we have coronavirus. Never at a loss for important topics to take on Air Talk. We begin with the latest on coronavirus with Los Angeles Times reporter Anita Chabrier joining us to talk not just about the first fatality announced yesterday in California and the states of emergency statewide and in local jurisdictions, but also concerns about a Princess cruise ship, which is off of San Francisco, while a number of passengers are being tested for COVID-19, the coronavirus that is spreading. Anita Chabrier, good to have you with us again on Air Talk. First of all, what can you tell us about the status of this cruise ship, the Grand Princess?
Well, thanks for having me on, Larry. What we know right now is that the boat is still a little ways out from San Francisco, but I communicated with the passenger on board about 10 minutes ago, and as of now, the testing kits have not arrived, but a helicopter is expected to bring them within the next hour. We know that about 100 people, or less than 100 people, will be tested for the virus. And what we understand is that those are 62 people who were, that includes 62 people who were on the previous cruise where the fatality was said to have contracted to the disease, the man from Placer who has passed away. So right now, everyone's saying they're in good spirits on the ship, or the folks that I've talked to, but they are just in this limbo while these testing kits arrive and are tested.
We're talking with LA Times reporter Anita Chabrier, and we'll continue with her, but also joining us, the director of Los Angeles County's Department of Public Health, Barbara Ferrer. Thank you for being with us. Let's talk first about the cruise ship and the testing. Once people are tested, how long is it taking to get test results on COVID-19?
You know, I think it depends on who's doing the testing and where the samples are being sent. I know that here in LA County, we now have local capacity with our own public health lab. We're one of 10 public health labs in California that's now able to do the testing. So obviously our turnaround time is quicker because we're not shipping samples all the way to Atlanta and then waiting for Atlanta to run the tests and then getting back to us. It still, on average, takes 1 to 2 days, depending on, you know, whether the sample you get has been correctly collected, so you don't have to go back and get another sample. But in general, you know, we can run the test and get results back fairly quickly. Now, in terms of the folks on the cruise ship, I'm not really sure where their samples are being sent. And again, there are lots of people being tested at the same time. But I would imagine that within a couple of days, everybody will have their test results.
Yeah, Anita's saying they don't even have the tests on the ship quite yet. How concerned should we as members of the public be when we hear about the increasing number of cases?
You know, I think because this is a new virus, everyone is going to have concern. And depending on your experiences, you know, do you have friends or family in mainland China and you've seen the devastation there? Depends on how worried you might be. I think one thing that's different in the United States is that we've had a lot more time to prepare and we've had a lot more time to really explain to all of our residents, you know, what are steps that everyone can take to protect themselves from a new circulating virus and all of the other respiratory illnesses that are circulating at this time in our communities. And that's helpful. You know, this virus, like all other respiratory viruses, is transmitted primarily from sick people to well people. So anything that we do that actually has less sick people circulating in the public spaces is going to help us reduce people's exposure to novel coronavirus. You know, our main message in terms of protections that people can reasonably take is if you are sick, even with mild illness, if your children are sick, even with mild illness, this is not the time to take that Tylenol or that Advil and kind of buck up and, you know, head out the door. This is the time to actually stay home until you are fever-free for at least 24 hours without any medication. And if a lot of people would actually take that advice and stay home, we would have less disease circulating. So there are things that all of us can do, and employers need to help with that. Employers need to make it easy for sick people to stay home. They need to not penalize sick people when they're staying home. And at this point, we're also asking that, please flex your policies and don't require people with mild illness to go to the doctor to get that doctor's note so that they can return to work. We really can't afford right now to either be sending people with mild illness into places where people are much more sick, and we can't afford to tie up our clinical staff with people who actually don't need to be.
You're setting the table beautifully for our upcoming segment in which we're going to talk about what are the rights of employees when it comes to refusing assignments they think might put them at risk. And we're going to talk with an employment law specialist on that. We're talking with Barbara Ferrer, Director, LA County Department of Public Health. We hear from public health officials this term, no known public exposures. What does that mean?
I think that's a great question. What it really means is when we identify a person who's positive, the first thing we do is we take a very detailed history of where that person has been and who they've been in contact with. And one thing we do know about this virus is it is spread primarily through very close contact. And we define close contact as being within 6 feet of a person for 10 minutes or more for the general public. So we look to find everybody, tells exactly what you did every hour, and we'll repeat the history a couple of times with folks. And we'll get a line list of everybody that they know that's visited them at home, that they had dinner with, that they went to someone's house with, that they rode in a car with, and we'll get that list. So those are what we call known contacts, and we contact every single person on that list, and they will be asked to quarantine for up to 14 days because they've had a known exposure to a person who was, in fact, infected with novel coronavirus. So they have to quarantine for up to 14 days from their exposure, and they're in touch with us, and we're in touch with them to make sure they're not developing signs and symptoms. There are situations where someone, for example, rides on a train, and they ride on a train every day. They go to work on the train. They come home on the train. And people are sitting next to them in that same close proximity, and they're on that train for an hour in the morning and an hour every evening. We have no idea who they sat next to, and they have no idea who they sat next to. So who was within that six-foot radius, because that's now a 60-minute exposure, we don't know. That's what we would call a public exposure. And the best we can do is send out an advisory that says, if you were on the train, at this point, this is the train, this is the time it left. If you were there within this hour, you may have had an exposure. Please monitor yourself for signs and symptoms of the disease. Again, not a known contact because we don't have a list of the people, but there could have been a possible exposure. And, folks here in LA County are very familiar with this because we do similar announcements, for example, with measles, and measles is way more contagious than novel coronavirus because it's airborne. But oftentimes we just need to say, if you were at a restaurant on this date, between this time period, you may have had an exposure. Please monitor yourself for signs and symptoms.
We're talking with Barbara Ferrer, Director, LA County Department of Public Health, who's going to be joining us on a daily basis to brief us on the very latest with the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. And just a question before I let you go, and we'll get back to this in the coming days. But what is the threshold public health officials are looking at for requesting that public events be canceled? We're looking at Italy with these big soccer games. They're going to be played in front of empty stadiums because, of course, they have so many diagnosed cases there. What's taken into account when issuing that advice?
I think you mentioned you mentioned what's really sort of driving that advice is how many cases do you have and where did those cases originate? So when you know that a case or a set of cases, a cluster of cases, you can really easily identify the source. You may be able to just do some limited what we call social distancing measures. For example, it's in one school, you don't have to close all the schools. You may be able to just close that one school. But if you had enough what we call community transmission, these are cases where we actually can't identify the source of the infection. If you had enough of that, you would actually think of taking similar steps here, you know, asking event venues to either cancel or modify what they're doing. I think we've all been talking, obviously, with all of our large event venues here in L.A. County to prepare them for what we hope we never have to do, and we hope we don't have, you know, an outbreak that's so significant with so much community transmission that we take these steps. But this is the time to prepare for that. I mean, we don't want to be trying to figure out how we do these, take these actions, you know, when we need to take the actions. So everybody is on alert at this point about making sure you have your plans in place for how you would be able to communicate modifications, for example, playing sports games without any spectators. Introducing more social distancing at events. One of the directives we're going to be issuing today is for people who are spectators at the marathon. We are going to be recommending, you know, first of all, people who are sick really can't attend. If you've got a cold and a cough, productive cough, you're running a fever, please don't attend. We're asking people to socially distance. Try to keep 6 feet between you and people you don't know. Avoid the handshake. Don't share water bottles. Don't share food. We want people to still continue to be able to enjoy the marathon. At this point, we have no known cases of community transmission in L.A. County. But given that there are travelers that are coming from all over the world for this event, we've been working with the organizers so that they're preparing their runners to take reasonable actions, but we're also going to work to let spectators know, you know, this is not the time to sort of be in a close-packed crowd with people you don't know.
Barbara Ferrer, thank you very much for being with us. We won't talk with you tomorrow as we're doing a special post-election live event here in our Crawford Family Forum, but Monday we'll look forward to talking with you next on Air Talk. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for covering the story so well.
We appreciate it. L.A. County Department of Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer with us on Air Talk, as is L.A. Times reporter Anita Chabrier, who's been closely covering the coronavirus, what's happening with the Grand Princess cruise ship off the coast at San Francisco while they test passengers on that ship to determine if they have contracted the coronavirus. Anita, I wanted to ask you as well about the whole, in fact, I'll play this clip. This was President Trump was on the phone with Fox News' Sean Hannity last evening, and President Trump was responding to the 3.4% global death rate that's been cited for the virus.
Well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number. Now, this is just my hunch. But based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this and it's very mild. They'll get better very rapidly. They don't even see a doctor. They don't even call a doctor.
Well, the president's been criticized for freelancing there and speculating. But Anita, I have heard this issue raised that there may be so many mild silent cases that we don't have a pretty good handle on the lethality of COVID-19. What have you been able to find out in your reporting?
Well, I think Trump is actually correct on this one. So what I'm hearing across the board with the experts that I've talked to is that, number one, we don't know. There's a ton we do not know about this virus. But that 3.4 number comes out of only looking at cases that were basically treated in medical facilities in China. So you had to be sick enough to make it to the doctor for it to be counted within that rate. And that gives a false high, or could give a false high, because there could be tons of people who had it, but just never got so sick that they went to the doctor. And if they were included, there would be fewer fatalities overall. So that's really a great debate right now within the public health and within the medical profession, is once we are able to do a better overall population study on this, will that rate come down? And most experts think it will probably come down.
But even if, and I'm just pulling a number out of the air here, even if it's 1% instead of 3.4, that's still many, many times what a typical flu's death rate would be.
That is correct. And it 1% would be devastating. 1%, you know, is a huge number globally. And we don't know how far this is going to spread. But I also think it's important to remember that that 1% would not be spread evenly across the population, because this virus really does hit elderly people and people with conditions that affect their heart or their lungs much, much harder. Whereas populations like kids, interestingly, kids really are not dying from this virus. So whatever the death rate or the fatality rate does turn out to be, it's not going to be evenly distributed amongst the population.
I think there was a doctor testifying before Congress, I think it was this morning, who referred to this as the angel of death for elderly patients. A pretty stark language.
It is clearly hitting elderly patients the hardest. And my understanding of that is because your immune system just declines as you get older, so you're more susceptible. But also we're looking at places like nursing homes, which is where we've seen a lot of the fatalities so far. And that really brings with it the double whammy of being in a confined system where, you know, there's maybe not the everyone's touching the same things and breathing the same air, along with being elderly. So you're really, you're seeing two things at play there at the same time, both age and that confined system.
Can you briefly, before I let you go, Anita, talk about what's happening in China? Because it does appear there's some good news there that the rate of cases seems to be declining.
Yes. You know, I think what I'm hearing everyone say is that the measures that they put in place really have had some effect there. I actually had one expert this morning tell me we should be thanking China for the extreme measures it has gone to. But I think that that also has to be kept in some perspective. What I've been told by some of the experts is that slowed the advance of the disease, but it did not stop it. So once it passed into other countries, it really is incumbent upon each country that gets it to keep it in check, because eventually it spreads beyond its borders and it keeps going.
Anita, thank you so much. Really appreciate your joining us today. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot, if you're willing, in the days and weeks to come. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Los Angeles Times reporter Anita Chabrier has been closely following the coronavirus. States of emergency declared for the state of California, locally as well, Los Angeles and Orange counties, and the local public health departments in cities like Long Beach and Pasadena. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up in just 1 minute, we'll talk about the rights of employees to decline assignments or to stay home without a doctor's note, other things that come into play when you've got an employer who wants employees to work and employees concerned about potential exposure to the virus. We'll be back in 60 seconds.